here, because I had something I wanted to say and do, if I can find the page, but I'll get it here in just a minute. But anyways, I want to say to all of you guys this morning, happy Father's Day. Happy day, whatever it is, right? But this is going to be just a little bit different than what I normally speak on. But I'm going to talk about teachable moments. Teachable moments. Hallelujah. And if you go home this afternoon or whenever, if you want to read the text, it's in Deuteronomy 6, and it's 1 through 25. But I'm only going to stick with a couple verses, and I want to read this verse to you. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now this is what the Lord says. Hallelujah. So many teachable moments are packed into every day. Every day with our children. The challenge is to lay hold of them and not let them pass by untapped. While the command here in Deuteronomy was for the Israelite parents of that day, we know it is true. Hallelujah. Today. We know it is true for us today as well. Not just then. And it had Deuteronomy been written today, if it's written today, not back in the Bible days, but today, perhaps the verse would read, teach them to your children diligently. Talk of them when you sit in the car driving back and forth to school. And when you go to all those activities that you go to. Teach them when you are going through the drive, through and waiting in line at the grocery store. Teach them. You get the idea what I'm trying to say? Time has changed. No doubt about it. But the Word of God remains. And tomorrow, it's the same yesterday, today, and it's going to be the same tomorrow. Dad, now grasp this. Those teachable moments, as you are walking and talking with your children, they need to know the Word of God. And they will only know it if you teach them. Now, I know a lot of people say, I've heard this over the last 30-some years, well, I send my child to school, to Christian school. They come to church. That's their place. But I want to tell you something. That isn't their place. If you think about it, there's only 4 or 5 hours any of us are in church service. Amen. And the rest is in the world. In the world. Hallelujah. And they'll only know these things if you teach them. I know we get so busy. We're all guilty of that. I mean, I'm busy all the time. I don't even know where the time goes. We need to put tablets and phones down. And I'm talking not yes, just kids. Amen. I'm talking to adults, moms, and dads. Amen. We need to be that example. Be an example to our family and to your kids. And I want to read this in Deuteronomy. And it's chapter 6, and I want to read these verses to you. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what means these testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were in Pharaoh's bondage in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, upon all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers.
Yes.
And this was told over and over and over, repeatedly. And the Lord commanded us. Now I want you to get this. And the Lord, dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, whatever. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to the fear of the Lord our God. Amen. To fear the Lord our God. For our goods always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And I got to thinking. Now, I'm not saying all parents are like this. But all this stuff that's going on right now in our world, I wonder how many parents are being an example to these kids that is all these other states, LA and all the other ones. What about what happened here in Ashland? How many parents are taking responsibility for their children? How many? Keep Barb in prayer. She has to go home. She's not feeling well. But I want to tell you something. God is great. God is great. And he'll always be with us if you will allow him to. He'll always be with us. I know sometimes we get so lonesome, but I want to tell you something. God is on the throne, and he knows our heart, and he sees us. Amen. And if you keep true to him, he'll never leave us. It'll be up to us if we leave him. Because I'm not going to ever leave him. I want to be with him forever. Amen. I want to know that my name is written down. I know by the blood of Jesus what he's done for me and what he took me out of. And I thank the Lord every day for my family and my children. I thank the Lord. He is good. And our children, you need to obey your parents. You need to listen to what they say to you. I don't know if it was Landon this morning or last night. You know what? There'll be a time when these kids all get older and they'll respect what you taught them. They'll respect that they might have got that spanking. They'll respect that they got grounded and they kept out of trouble. So we need to be very, very careful with our children. With our children. All of us do. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this day, and Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor.
Thank you. We praise you.
God, we thank you for what you're going to do and how that you're going to move.
As we celebrate Father's.
Oh God, have your way today, Lord. Move upon your people. God, let the hearts be open, God. Let the eyes see, Father God. Let the ears hear, Lord God, what you want them to hear, Father God. And help us, Lord, to be attentive to your word today, Lord. We need you, Jesus.
Thank you for that. We thank you also, Lord, that you're touching.
God, touch your congregation. Don't let any leave here the way they walked in the door. God, give them strength and guide them this day, Lord God. And we'll forever, give you all praise and all glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Can we all just pray for Sister Barb now?
Yes, right now.
First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Paul writing to his protege, Timothy. He pens the words, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." I want to speak to you this morning the measure of a man. The measure of a man. But ladies, you're not excluded. because it hits you as hard as it does us men here today. Would you bow your heads and pray? Oh, Father God, today I want the words to be your words, the truth to come from your word. I'm just an instrument. Touch these lips of clay so that I can speak. God, I just ask that you move and minister exactly how you need to move and minister. Today, Father, I thank you that not one of us will leave here the same way that we walked in, where we're going to be changed. Changed because of your words, whether they're heard, whether they're read, but also by the anointing and unction and the moving of your Spirit. Because without the unction of your Spirit today, we would be most miserable. Help us to measure up to what a man and a woman should be and leave behind to their children. Father, we flee from the very appearance of evil and we rush to your altar space, to your altar time. And it's in the precious holy name of Christ we pray, we believe, and we expect great things. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated together. The measure of a man. I told someone today, I said, about our holiday that we're in. Woohoo! Father's Day. We get robbed every year. I know. Wah, wah. Boo-hoo. I really feel the love. But today I hope I can convey what God has laid upon my heart. And it's kind of a dangerous thing. I know I've got 7 pages of notes. Could be dangerous. But I've got a lot of other things running around up here. I haven't been able to get away from heritage or legacy. Which do you want to leave behind? Because you will leave behind a heritage for your kids, but also a legacy. And it's important to understand that in heritage that we leave behind or legacy that we leave behind, that you got to remember that there's 2 different forms of each one of those words. There's the tangible, those things that you leave behind that it'll become an inheritance to them. Or the intangible, those things that your life has ministered to them and placed within their character, their spirit, what they need to reflect Christ Jesus. We live today in a world that measures everything. We've even got government agencies that come and make sure that each gas pump is pumping a gallon of gas. What would happen if you would find out that the gas station on the corner is only giving you 3/4 of a gallon, but yet charging you for a full gallon of gas? Would make you very happy. Well, we've got all kinds of measurements in this world. You've got the building industry. Lord, have mercy. You got to do it this way. You got to build them this high. You can't put the electrical outlet any higher than this, and so on and so forth. But we live in a world of measurements. But we also live in a world of spiritual measurements. In my studies, in preparing this message, I come across a book that was written in 1666. You say, oh no, 666. No, there's a one in front of it, so we're safe. We're good to go. But in 1666, the author of this book, Thomas Watson, wrote a book, The Godly Man's Portrait. It's a little over 250 pages with 12 chapters that are directly written toward what a godly man looks like. It was quite a popular book back in 1666, some 400 years ago, but it's not so much relevant today. It's not in everybody's library. I don't have this book. I'm going by what I studied and looked at and read. According to Watson, he discovered the Bible said that a godly man is a man of knowledge. Knowledge, not a knowledge of this world, but a knowledge of spiritual blessings, spiritual things. He is also a man that's moved by faith. A man fired by love. And yes, even a man like God. And we can be the apple of his eye, just as David was. A man careful about the worship of God. A man who serves God and not men. A man who prizes Jesus Christ. A man who can weep and cry. A man who loves the Word. A man who has the Spirit of God residing in him. A man of humility. A man of prayer. A man of sincerity. A heavenly man. A zealous man, a patient man, a thankful man, a man who loves the saints, a man who does not indulge himself in sin, a man who is good in his relationships, a man who does spiritual things in a spiritual manner, a man thoroughly trained in religion, a man who walks with God, a man who strives to be an instrument for making others godly. Instead of men who are pursuing the American dream or chasing after empty pots of gold or giving themselves a pass that leans towards laziness and checking out from responsibility, these are some measurements that are going to require work on your part and my part as well. I know that's a long list and a lot of things that I said. But understand that if we could get enough godly men today, we can turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. It would only take a few of us, mighty men of prayer, those who pray, those who fast, those who want to do the Word of God, the will of God, the plan of God. Amen? Hallelujah. My prayer on this Father's Day is that we pursue the things that God measures men by, because any of the other stuff does not matter. Doesn't measure up to a hill of beans. I've always wondered what that meant. Maybe you can help me out later. But my first point, that was just the introduction. The text that we read in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12 originates in the pastoral epistles, means the letters that were written to, I called Timothy Paul's protege. It was written from Paul to Timothy. However, it is important to understand that every man comes into the kingdom of God, is designated as a man of God. It doesn't matter whether you're called to pulpit ministry or ministry, pastoring, so on and so forth. Because we're all called to minister the good news, the hope that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Every father is preaching with his life as much as he is with his words. Let me say that again. Every father, every mother, every born-again believer is living out their life, speaking louder probably with their actions than what their words are saying to people. Amen. There's an old parable told by a Haitian pastor. He said that there was a man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man in the area desperately wanted to buy it, but he did not have the means to have it. After a lot of bargaining, the owner agreed to sell the house for $1,000. However, the reduced price came with a stipulation. The owner would be able to retain ownership of a large nail that was just above the front door. Several years had passed, and the original owner decided he wanted to buy the house back. Understandably, the new owner was unwilling to sell it back to him. So the original owner goes out and finds the carcass of a dead dog and hangs it on a nail right above the front door. As it was, the nail he still owned. It wasn't too long before the house became unlivable, and the family was forced to sell the home to the owner of the nail. The Haitian pastor concluded the story, "If we leave the devil with even a small peg in our life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it." If the enemy has one access to just a single nail in your life, he will exploit it. Are there any nails hanging over the front door of your life? Don't give the devil or the world any room to take advantage of you. Because you've heard me say time and time again, if you play long enough around the pig pen, sooner or later you're going to fall in. It's going to catch up with you. But I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and I want to read some previous verses to our text. 6 through 10. And I want you to pay attention to these. Listen carefully to the instructions of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. He said, verse 6, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness without contentment is great gain. You can't get bored with God, because it's exciting to be able to think that we can reach the world and present the gospel to each and every one. Verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out." Amen. "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." doesn't say what we want and what we desire, food that God provides for us. Verse number 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And verse number 10 finishes out, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We need to flee from this very something because it's abhorrent to your soul. A man of God is measured by what he flees from. So the measure of a man, many a times, is what we stay away from. If it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it looks like a duck, it's not a cow. It's a duck. No matter what terminology or words we place on the sins of this world, it's no longer adultery and fornication, but it's an affair. It's a mistake. It's a, oops, I'm sorry. My bad. But when we think of 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, it simply says, flee from fornication. And fornication isn't just only sexual, because that can mix in the things of the world with Jesus Christ, with our relationship. 1 Corinthians 10 and 14 says, flee from idolatry. What do we put up on pedestals? What's in our homes? I can come visit your home for 10 minutes and I can tell where your heart is by the decorations within your house. 1 Timothy 6:11, flee from covetousness and the love of money. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee from youthful lust. It's still good advice to our generation today. We live in a very sensual, idolatrous, money-loving, lustful society. Every device the devil can use, he will do so to subvert our own souls. We have to flee from it. One of the things that we need to understand, for everything that God has good, the enemy has something bad and evil. The second thing that we're measured by is what we follow after. That's what I meant by coming into your house and looking around and seeing the decorations within your home. We have a lot of things that we can place up on pedestals. The word that Paul uses gives the indication that it is to be a lifelong pursuit that we are never to stop pursuing, making it the goal of our life to achieve these six things. Number one is righteousness. Not your righteousness, because you can never, ever be good enough. But thanks be to God, Jesus Christ paid the price with his blood. The second thing is godliness. Godliness. Third thing is faith. Fourth thing is love. Fifth thing is patience. There you go, Rosie. I had to stick it in there. Every time. Just doing my job. Thank you. And the sixth thing is meekness, gentleness. A man of true faith will find himself coveting and pursuing these everlasting possessions of the soul. And the third thing is, we're measured by what you fight for. What you fight for. If you're going to keep your mouth shut, that's not fighting. But if you want to tell your kids what maybe they might be doing wrong, that's our chance to present the gospel. In our text, it says, fight the good fight of faith. I'm not about to try and read the words, but it literally agonize the good agony. Paul is informing us that every step of the way will be a fight to contend with. Another portion of Scripture says, stand. And when we stand, we need to look around and look and see what is coming our way. Our adversary, the devil, is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. Do you love George Barna? He has some great studies of mankind. Charles Swindoll, Improving Your Serve, quoted George Barna because he's identified some troubling statistics for the church at large in America. Women are twice as likely to be involved in discipleship in the church as men are. Twice as unlikely. Maybe that's why they have a better holiday, Mother's Day, than what we do as fathers. Need to kick ourselves in the seat of the pants. Amen. He also gave this fact, that there are 57% more likely to attend Sunday school. They're 56% more likely to hold a leadership position. And there's been church splits over women pastors. Where would the church be without women? Oh, you're awake now, huh? Because I said something that you liked. They are 54% more likely to participate in a small group. What is your heart fighting for? Is it righteousness? Is it faith? Is it love? Is it patience? Is it gentleness and kindness? We have to fight and take the fight to the devil. Not wait on him to try to expose himself, but we do that by offensive matters. Prayer, fasting, studying, meditating on the Word of God, being the vessel that we need to be for these last days. I keep my sermons. I could go back in the early 2000s, 2003, 2004, 2005, and pull out messages and Bible studies But if you just go back the last few years since COVID, there's three dominant things that seem to surface what I preach about. The first one is love for doctrine and lifestyle. You don't always like it, but sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Amen. Another thing that I've preached many times and had studies on is prayer. Because prayer changes things. It changes you. God doesn't need prayer. We need prayer. And the last thing that I know that I've ministered on is you're in a spiritual battle. And you don't have to believe it for it to be so. We're all fighting a spiritual battle. And what we fight for, we need many, many instructions for that fight. I want to close with the last thing. The power of a fighting father. Today in this generation, we better be ready to fight for your own personal identity as a man. Lord have mercy. How many genders is there? According to God, 2, not 92. We've got a whole world that's trying to attack us. We need to fight the battle for personal holiness. God still is in the holiness business. Fight the fight for your family. I remember so many times, so many testimonies of people saying they heard grandma in the bedroom praying, calling out their names. They heard their mother calling out their names in prayer. Has your kids heard you calling out their names? Fight through the pain of living in a fallen world. Fight for some close, godly friends. Because when we find someone that we can stand with, Scripture says, one will put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. And last but not least, and I'm sure that we could think of some more if we give time, fight a strong faith, for strong faith. Because faith moves the hand of God. It's not your need, it's not your situation, it's not how much you're whining and sniveling about it. You're crying about it, but it's because you fought the good fight of faith. What's so powerful about this is the fact that God sees everything. God knows everything. And He's willing to fight the fight with you. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. That means we got to take the effort. To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I thank God. Do you want to leave a heritage or a legacy to your children? I just want to know that my kids and grandkids know that Grandpa loved them. Even though I can be grouchy and blunt. Imagine that. Can you imagine that, Rosie? You sure you don't want to think about it? Oh, I feel a love. But sometimes it takes stern words, which means love. Would you stand with me? This message not only is for godly men, but is also for godly women. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just thank you. We thank you today, Lord. It's truly wonderful that we know you as a personal Savior. Don't let one of us walk out of here without knowing for sure where we are going to spend eternity. That's where Paul said, pursue. Fight the good fight of faith to have eternal life and to know you as a personal Savior and friend who sticks closer than any bloodly brother or sister, mom or dad. But Father, today, it's your day. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Trinity, we thank you that you're our spiritual father today. Both women and men alike. God, put the blazing fire in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. All of us, so that we can become a better witness, an example of your righteousness and holiness, that, Lord, more of you and less of the world is our desire. We pray that we're revived and alive in this year, but not only spark it, but fan the flames of revival in the midst of your people. It's in the precious holy name of Christ, our Lord, and soon coming King, that we're praying, that we're believing, and that we're expecting to see miracles, signs, wonders following us who believe. Because God, greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we thank you for that. Not today. Today, as I open up what has already been before you, is this time to find God, to make sure that things are right between you and your Heavenly Father. I'm so glad that God, our Heavenly Father, forgives as well as forgets the hurt and the heartache in the wonderful name of Christ. Jesus. Opening up the altar to special prayer as well. If you need anything from the Lord, Maybe you have some things that you need to lay at the foot of the cross. The altar is designated spot for mankind to meet with a Heavenly Father and to be able to be changed as they get up and walk back. Anyone. I want us to close out then for... Thank you, sister. Come on, ladies. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost. Sweet Holy Ghost. Shalalabo sata. God, we thank you.